Welcome to Words, Words, Words. This is your host, Robert Pinajero. On today's episode, we'll be talking about information and tips dealing with resumes, application letters, and e-portfolios. And I'd like to thank one of our listeners for suggesting this a while back. It took me a little while to get to it, but I did remember that you suggested talking about resumes. And so, first off, starting with resumes, it's really important to have a really polished, well-formatted, well-organized resume, because a lot of times that may be the only thing that a person or a committee is looking at when you're applying for a job or a scholarship or an internship or something like that. And so I would suggest using a template, and a place that I think has excellent resume templates is Canva.com, C-A-N-V-A, Canva.com. Has templates for all sorts of things. I use Canva when I have to create flyers and posters and resumes and all sorts of other documents. And so I would start there. One thing to keep in mind about Canva is it has tons of free templates, but there are also some that you do have to pay, or special features within resume templates that you have to pay for. So if you don't want to pay for anything, just be aware that there are tons of free templates, but some stuff you do have to pay for if you want some premium features. And so go to Canva, or another place you can go to is within Microsoft Word. Word has a lot of good templates. I believe Google Docs has some as well. And so when you use a template, it just makes it look really professional, and it can also look a bit creative to make you stand out from the crowd. So especially if you go to Canva, because that's the one I use most often, or I tell my students to use, you can really tell the difference between a resume that has been put into a stylish professional template on Canva as opposed to one that's just been created in Word or Google Docs without using any sort of template. So that's really important. Secondly, there's a few ways that you can organize your resume information. One way is chronologically. So you put the most recent thing that you have done as far as employment or schooling or any other activities. And then there's the reverse chronological, where you put the least recent or the oldest thing that you've done in each of those categories. Or what I usually suggest to students is the third option is to kind of do a mix of the two, where you're actually highlighting what is most important for the job or internship or scholarship or whatever you're applying for. So for instance, let's say you're applying for a manager position at a store, you know, going chronologically or reverse chronologically may not be the best. What would be best is to choose the jobs you've had that will highlight the fact that you're ready to be a manager. And looking at the position announcement, putting those things first as far as your jobs, your employment, your schooling, your skills, and any other information that you have on there. And while I'm on that note, that's a really important thing to think about, is when you're applying for jobs, don't just use the exact same resume over and over, especially as you gain more experience. And what I mean by that is, look at the job announcement, pay attention to the specific details of it, of what they're looking for and the person they want to hire, and then make sure those things are highlighted and present in your resume. There may be skills you have, or even employment you've had, or volunteering that you've done that doesn't fit certain job applications, but it does fit others. And so think about that, because usually you want to keep your resume one page long. Maybe two pages is okay, but usually within one page, maybe one and a half, maybe two pages, people want to see real quickly the skills you have, your employment, your work experience, any volunteering, any other activities that fit directly with your job you're applying for. So when you're doing that, sometimes you want to cut things out that don't fit that specific application. And that helps you just have a really focused resume that will hopefully help you get an interview. And usually that's the next step in getting hired or getting a scholarship or internship or something, is that's just an opening to get you a interview. The next thing I want to talk about is application letters. And real quick, before I get off of resumes, if you just go to Google and type in resume advice or go to YouTube, there are tons of videos, tons of great information. If you're still in school, if you're a college student, go to your writing center. They can be a huge help in helping you develop your resume and look at the different tips that people are presenting online. Some of those tips may be good for you, some may not. But think about the tips that people are presenting in these articles and videos, and then think about how you're going to use some of those to create a really strong resume for the specific position you're applying for. The second thing I want to talk about is application letters. And so application letters are also called cover letters. So if you ever see cover letter, application letter, they're pretty much the same thing. And so what this is a short, professionally formatted written letter where you are mentioning what job or position or scholarship or internship you're applying for, and then you're able to write out why you think you should be the person to get that job or internship or scholarship. And so the resume is a quick snapshot, but the application letter lets you highlight and explain some things. And so two really important things with the application letter: one of them, you make sure you think about the formatting and you professionally format it. I always suggest to students that they write the letters in what's called full block format. And if you just go to Google, type in full block format, there's tons of resources that show you what that is. I know that the OWL English website has some good examples of what that is, but there's tons of good other resources and YouTube videos that show you how to write a letter in full block format. And so you want to format it well. In your introductory paragraph, you always want to mention who you are, what it is you're applying for, and then give a quick intro into what you're going to be talking about in your letter. And letters, it depends on what you're applying for. Most, or a lot of positions, they're just going to be one-page letters, which means they're going to be about 3-4 paragraphs. For some jobs that I've applied for, I've written two-page letters. I never usually want to go over 2 pages because that's getting really long. But think about the job you're applying for, and once again, look at the details of the job or scholarship or internship announcement, because they may talk about things like leadership or diversity or managerial experience or volunteering experience, or how would you, you know, they want people that can work well in teams. And so look at the announcement and then make sure you're highlighting those things in your application letter. And so you want to quickly mention the things you're going to highlight in your introductory paragraph. And usually a paragraph of about 4 or 5 sentences is enough. And then your main body paragraphs, make sure those are well organized and make sure you're highlighting actual things that you've done. And so this is something I notice a lot when I have my students writing these application letters, is a lot of times they'll mention something like, I can be a good leader. But then they don't give any examples of how they've been a good leader. And so that's the whole point of the application letter, is don't just tell me you're capable of being a good leader. Give me concrete examples of things you've done in school or jobs or organizations where you're a leader, right? Same thing if you're gonna say, I'm a great team player. Don't just say that. You have to actually show that you have worked together in teams and how those teams have been successful in whatever it is that they were working on. Okay, so have a well-formatted letter. Make sure it's well-organized. Have that introduction. Have your body paragraphs. And then in your concluding paragraph, just thank them for taking their time to look over your application, to read your letter. Tell them you are looking forward to hearing back from them. And then I always try to give them a couple of ways that they can contact me. So I give them my email address. And if you're comfortable with it, give them your cell phone number. Because I always want to make sure that they're able to reach me if they end up wanting to interview me or offer me a job. So that's really important. The final thing I want to talk about is e-portfolios. And so e-portfolio is just an electronic portfolio, and all that is a small website where you are highlighting professional things about yourself. So some people have very kind of formal professional websites for themselves, and other people have use a little more creativity in creating their e-portfolios, and both are fine. So you have to think about, well, what works for you? What do you think is going to work the best for jobs that you're applying for, right? So if you're applying to a law firm, you may want to consider having one style as opposed to, you know, if it's something in the creative world. And so think about that. And so things that you want to include on your e-portfolio are, you want to have you want to have your resume, and I always suggest having a downloadable PDF file for a resume, and you can put some of your resume information there within the website if you want. Also, if you're applying for a very specific job, you might also want to put your application letter, but that you can decide if you want to do, because if you apply for a future job, right, you want to take that letter down and put up a new one, or maybe you don't want to put your application letter there at all. You want to list organizations that you've been a part of. If you've had leadership in those organizations, you want to mention that. You want to mention your schooling. And this is a good place, this ePortfolio website, to highlight and talk about projects you've worked on. And by projects, I either mean, if you're just graduating college, you can talk about projects you've worked on in different classes. You can upload papers you've written in different classes. If you already have been out of college for a while, this is where you can highlight different things that you've accomplished in the professional world. You can have another section of your e-portfolio that mentions your volunteering, right? And maybe you upload some pictures of yourself when you were volunteering at an event, or you upload a video, or you put a hyperlink to an organization that you've worked closely with. And so you want to be a little creative, usually, with these e-portfolios, where you're uploading projects you've worked on. You can upload some pictures, you know, professional pictures, professional videos. And by professional, I don't mean like done by a professional, but you don't want them to be really, you know, informal or you doing anything crazy. But it's nice to show people that you're involved in these things and to have a place online where they can go and click around and see the things you've done. And so all of this is important. As you know, this podcast is about rhetoric and communication. And so when you are thinking about how you want to communicate to the world what you've accomplished, right, a lot of us do that already on social media, and that's kind of our place to have some fun. But we also want to have avenues where we can present ourselves professionally. And I would strongly suggest an e-portfolio site. You could also use something like LinkedIn. But if you're going to go the route of creating your own little website, the ones I suggest to my students are Wix, W-I-X, Wix.com. Another really nice one is Strikingly, S-T-R-I-K-I-N-G-L-Y, Strikingly.com. There's also Adobe Portfolio, which is free. I personally don't like that as much as like Wix or Strikingly, but the nice thing about Adobe Portfolio is it will create a short link for your website, a short URL. With Wix and Strikingly, if you do the free versions, it might be a long URL that has, you know, these random numbers and stuff, and then your name at the end. With Adobe, you can just put your name .adobeportfolio.com or something like that. So just keep that in mind. So I hope you take some of these tips, think about them whenever you're applying for a job or an internship or scholarship or whatever else you're thinking of applying for, because it really matters how you present yourself to the people you're applying to. And you don't want to just have your personal social media be the only way that people can see what you're up to in the world. You want to make sure you have these professional things. So have a strong, well-written, well-formatted, visually appealing resume. You can go to canva.com to help you for as far as finding a template. Have a strong application letter that is well organized, well written, and I would suggest writing it in full block format. And have a professional a website that is showing your professional information, and that's called an e-portfolio. So I hope you find this information useful, either for you or someone in your life. As always, please share the podcast if you think somebody can take something from it. and feel free to follow the podcast and on and me on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and have a great day.